Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. This time of year, it seems like the least likely radio stations suddenly become religious. Talk of generosity, goodwill, and good deeds are sandwiched between Christmas carols that make you feel good. But there's one station that will go further than that to present the greatest truth that man could ever understand. Jesus Christ is God. You're listening to that station right now. At WCNO, we don't stop talking about Jesus on December 26th. Christmas is really year-round for us. Your generosity is year-round too, or we wouldn't even be able to broadcast. When the Christmas lights come down and the tree is set out by the roadside, our team of listeners will keep on giving. That's because you understand that the message of Jesus Christ must go out 365 days a year. As you may know, we came up quite a bit short of our financial goal during our recent prayer and praise time, and we really do need your help right now. If you'd like to make a special year-end gift to WCNO this Christmas, you'll be taking us beyond that special day. Send your gift to WCNO at 2960 Southwest Map Road, Palm City, Florida, 34990. Or make your donation online at our website, WCNO.com. It's one good deed that will bring eternal results. And Merry Christmas from all of us at the Good News Station, WCNO.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarvis, your host for the Revealing Truth radio broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Grab a pen and take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
I think the richest guy in the world right now is worth like $76 billion. Rockefeller, with all his wealth in today's money, would be worth $660 billion. Amazing? That was nothing compared to King Solomon. That was nothing compared to King Solomon. He had every pleasure, every resource, every natural accolade, more than any other man or woman to ever live in life. He was a king. He had money. He had fame. He had reputation. Matter of fact, one of the richest queens in all the history of the world, Queen Sheba, showed up at his place and she said, "I've heard about you, but now that I'm here, half the stuff I didn't even hear. I didn't hear half of it." And she heard how rich he was. If you read his story, he had swimming pools. And this is 2000 BC. He had swimming pools. He had big houses. He was rich. He was famous. He had everything. But Solomon came to a place where he had everything when he began to write his book of wisdom. And you know what he said we need to pay attention to more than everything else? Here's what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. He said this: "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me give you four things that are benefits to being connected this morning. You can write these down if you want to. Number one, there's greater productivity to relationships when you're connected. You want to write that down? You can. There's greater productivity to relationships when you are connected. Productivity. He said, two are better than one. Why? Because they have a greater reward for their labor. In Genesis chapter 2, God began the whole created order of mankind with these words: "It is not good for man to be alone." Listen to me. It is not good for you to be alone. And he wasn't just talking about in terms of a marital relationship. He's talking in terms of the fact that if creativity and productivity is going to come forth in the earth, then it will demand partnership. If we're going to be creative in this church and we're going to be productive in this church, then it's going to demand partnership. Huh? That's why when he made Adam, he didn't make Eve like him. Adam and Adam couldn't have been functional. They could not have been productive. That was the key. They could not produce. And the commandment on them was to what? To be productive, to fill the earth, to replenish the earth. But here's the principle. God says in order for every one of us to be productive, he puts people in our lives that are not exactly like us. You ever hear anybody say, I don't know why, we ain't got nothing in common. Well, that ain't a bad thing. Here's the principle. God says in order for every one of us to be productive, he puts people in our life that aren't exactly like us. And that's good. Well, I only hang out with white people. Well, you ought to add some color to your world. Well, I don't like all that music. Well, listen to it a little bit. It might grow on you. Well, I only hang out with the brothers. I feel comfortable with my own kind. What does that even mean? You know? What do you mean your own kind? We're all human. That is your kind. I don't care what color. Where they come from? What nation? What ethnicity? What culture? They're human. Huh? I can understand it if you're dealing with bunny rabbits and tigers. I mean, I don't expect a bunny rabbit to hang out with a tiger. But we're all human, amen? We're all walking around on this planet. We're all human beings. If you're going to be productive, God's going to have to put people in your life that are not exactly like you. They're a little bit different, amen? But they can help you become the fruitful individual that God has called you to be. And sometimes it's by rubbing you the wrong way. Huh? You know why? Because when two people learn to get together in partnership, there's greater reward for their labor. There's greater reward for their efforts. But you got to work at the partnership. How many of you recognize there are teams in NBA and the NFL and the Major League Baseball and hockey? And on these teams, there are superstars. Ain't that right? They're full of champions. But they are not a championship team because a lot of them play as individual superstars. They're a championship team because they play as a team. Huh? And we've seen some of them superstars that come along. They're worried about their statistics. They're worried about their money. They're worried about their career. But they ain't really worried about the team winning. And we know that because the team don't win. And they got some of the best players in sports. And they just showboat. They're happy if their statistics are up, even if the team lost. Anybody ever heard of Dean Smith? Coached college basketball in North Carolina. He coached Michael Jordan. Maybe you heard of Michael Jordan. Anybody ever heard of Michael Jordan? We've all heard of Michael Jordan, haven't we? When he came to college, he was one of the most recruited high school players ever. And Coach Smith set him down the day after his first year of training camp before they started the season. He said this to him. He said, Michael, you might become the greatest basketball player in America, but if you don't learn how to, or if you will not pass the ball, you will not play on this team. You will not play on my team. I don't care if you score, and this is what he told him. He said, I don't care if you score 50 points a game. If you don't learn how to pass the ball, you will not play on this team. And Michael said, okay, but why? And Coach Smith said this, because if you don't ever learn to pass the ball and make the people around you as good as you are, then you will leave them demoralized, and sooner or later they'll get disillusioned, and this team will never win a game. Come on, somebody. You know what happens when that takes place? Despondency enters the hearts of everybody on the team. And then it becomes a divided team. We see that happen in church, don't we? And churches divide and split. And you know why? Because we don't win as individuals, we win as a team. It's really not about you and your gift. Oh my goodness, somebody got a revelation on that. I just felt it. It's really not about you and your gift. Huh? You know what happens in marriages? Some husbands never learn to pass the ball to their wives, so wives never learn how to pass the ball back to their husbands, and we keep trying to win as individuals. When the marriage divides. Is anybody hearing me this morning?
Yes, sir.
But God says what? He says there's greater reward for partnership. He said one of the reasons you get connected is because you get a greater return for your labor. Mother Teresa said this. She said, none of us ever do great things, but we can all do small things with great love together and make the world a better place. What a heart on that woman. The second thing that happens is there is greater perseverance. Somebody say perseverance. So there's partnership and then there's perseverance. How many know when you walk in partnership with somebody, he says when one falls, the other one can help him up. Isn't it good to have somebody around you when you fall? It's not no fun to fall and not have nobody there to help you up. Amen. You know what community is really all about? It's about two things. It's about support and it's about accountability. We just got a lot of people that are on the team that are not accountable. And the problem is that when we walk along, we fall down, there's nobody there to see it because there's no accountability. So we got people that are doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we don't get up and we don't get any help and there's nobody there to hold me accountable, so I just lay in my mess and then pretend like that I'm not even in a mess. That's why some people stay stuck in self-pity. That's why some people wear masks. Because there's nobody in their life to say, hey, look, knock it off. You need to stop that. Let me help you up. It happens to all of us from time to time. Let me help you up. I mean, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. He was called the Lone Ranger, but he had Tonto. That's why when the Indians rode up on the Lone Ranger, he looked over at Tonto. He said, Tonto, what are we going to do? And Tonto looked at the Lone Ranger and he said, what do you mean we, Kemosabe? I'm just kidding. Come on now. Here's the question you got to ask yourself. Who is watching for me? Who's watching for me? Who's watching for me when I fall into discouragement? Who's there to encourage me? Who's there to speak the word over me? Who's there to build me up? Who's watching me when I fall in the habits of sin? Who's there that can help me? Not just wash their hands of me and go, well, it's all over. He's done. He's gone. He's gone. He blew it this week. He got drunk last night. He's all done. You know, one of the saddest days in the Bible was the day David wrote these words. He said, I am a king, I am a champion, I can whip giants, but I got a problem in my life that I just can't whip. Think about that. I'm a champion, I'm a king. I have no enemies on any of my borders. I kill giants, but I got a problem in my life I just can't whip. Now, some of y'all here this morning just don't want me to be real with you, but I'm trying to be real. Because God's heart for his people is that we can help each other. You know, I've said this to you before. There's some people in the Bible, I wouldn't have told everything about them in the Bible. I just kept some stuff quiet. I wouldn't have, when it come to somebody like Noah, I just said, well, yeah, he built an ark, was faithful to God, built an ark out in the middle of a field when it ain't never even rained and saved the human race. I never would have wrote in there that when he was so, after the world flooded and he got off the ark, he was so excited, went out and planted a vineyard, got drunk and laid naked in the street. I'd have left that out. Huh? I wouldn't have put parts in there about David, man after God's own heart, but David would stayed home when he was supposed to be at work and ended up becoming a peeping Tom. I know David was a peeping Tom. Perverted peeping Tom. Slept with another man's wife and had her husband killed. I'd have left that out. Peeped over his balcony and said, oh my God, but it wasn't God. That's why he wrote that verse, I will let my eyes fall on no worldly thing. He saw it and he asked for it. Brought Bathsheba to his bedroom, committed adultery, and then arranged for her husband to be killed. He said, I can't believe David would do that. Why would David do something like that? Well, you don't know what you'd do. We get quick to judge when we get religious. Because you don't know what you'd do if you was a king and didn't have no enemies on any of your borders and the whole nation of Israel loved you and you were God's chosen and after God's own heart and you just thought you could have whatever you wanted and there was whatever you wanted on the balcony. And here's what David said, the saddest days of his life, here's what he said. David said this. I looked and no man cared for my soul. David, the king, said, I looked and no man cared for my soul. In other words, they cared about my nation, whether it succeeded or failed, whether my business made it or not, but nobody cared about me.
Thank you for joining us today for the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. We hope you will tune in again each day, Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. To obtain your copy of this week's message, please send your check for $5 for shipping and handling to 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. To pay by phone or simply make a love gift, you can call 772-461-8555. That number again is 772-461-8555. For more exciting information on our church, service times, and directions, you can check us out on the web at igniteyourworld.com. This has been The Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner, and I'm your host, Bob Tarvis. See you next time on The Revealing Truth.
His holy name. all ye children of the world, spread your innocence among us. We have lost the meaning of the word that we need this Christmas. Silent night. Prisoners of fear, your enemy is falling. Open up your heart and you will hear the voice of Christmas calling, calling.
yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself
This is WCNO, Palm City, the Good News Station.